Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Boy, oh boy, are you wound
up. Heart, yeah.
Are you wound up today?
Well, we have an email and a text before we even came on the air.
Well, you better look at the email. We don't know if it's germane to our topic. Could be one of our good road reporters.
No, it's E from EB, so we know right away it's going to be anti-Trump.
The text.
Oh, the text. Okay. All right, who's that from? Unable to stream feed via Twitter.
Don't read that on the radio. Just help the listener. You don't have to read the complaint.
All right. It's not a complaint. It's an observation.
All right. Welcome aboard, everybody. It is the WDKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I am Mr. Mark Lawrence, subpar host
of
the show.
Are you sure you are? You don't look like Mark Lawrence to me.
And
Mark Lawrence is strikingly handsome. You're somewhat less than that today.
I look a little homely. Yeah, I got a haircut.
You look a bit bedraggled, to be frank about it.
I got a haircut, and it didn't help anything. So that is me, and Joe is there, and Mr. Rob Centers, our fabulous producer. Oh, Joe is there. It's actually Joe McGranahan, superlative co-host in every way.
So you say.
Mayor of Shamokin Dam, member of, now in charge of thwarting all global earthquakes, and let's see, what else do you do? You're on the State Mayors Association Executive Board, right?
That's correct.
So you guys really decide what the mayors are up to. How's your radar bill coming? It didn't get vetoed.
Actually, it's moving better than we thought it might. It's passed the House or the Senate Transportation Committee. It goes to the full Senate floor where we expect it will pass, and then it moves on to the House. And Linda Culver's assessment is that it has a good shot there. So we're hoping, keeping our fingers crossed.
Well, good luck, brother. I hope you get your bill through so we can stop this quest that you run on our show every fall.
Well, it's not every fall, but it's been a while. I mean, let's face it, we are the only state in the union that doesn't allow municipal police to use radar. Something's terribly wrong somewhere, don't you think?
Well, there may be good reason for that. Maybe they're concerned about abuse or mistakes or lack of training. Well, I'm not familiar with the argument.
Those things are included in the bill. They must have the training to take it. And just to show that they're not beyond demeaning our police even more, there's a limit to how much fine money a municipality can keep. And then, of course, there's the one, I think that I'm not certain this provision's in the current bill, but the junior ticket is the one I really like as part of the bill, that for the first year or two, we can give out tickets, we can fine them, but no points.
Mm. Oh, okay. So in case you flip to radar and start using it as a massive revenue source, all that's
but
capped.
But you could do that with the stuff you have now. There have been speed traps for years in Pennsylvania without radar, and they're usually the result of a community saying, hey, this is an unsafe situation.
Or a police officer or chief saying, this is what I want to dedicate my time to, making sure that a particular road, that everybody stays in compliance.
Well, I get speed complaints about different roads in the borough, and I always ask our police to set up and check the area, make sure that it's, try to calm it down if it's...
What is the name of the road where the Aldi is, the cross street there?
That's 8th Avenue.
8th Avenue. Is that the final paving, what we're looking at there, that
Hopefully.
Washboard?
Hopefully. The gas company has made it their career to dig up 8th Avenue. It must be the only thing. Hey, it's Monday. Let's dig up 8th Avenue again.
Well, at first they had rough repairs.
The gang that couldn't shoot straight comes to mind.
Well, they did what looks like final repairs last week, but it's still very washboardy. And I think maybe the type of equipment they put or how long they let it sit, some of the portions of the roads they did not dig up are now bumpy, too, because
of
the
work. Let's just say they're... Ability to repair a road to the condition it was before they came in is sometimes questionable.
And it's definitely much worse than it was before. What about, does Shamokin Dam pave a certain section of a road each year, like Northumberland paves?
We have a road program, yes.
Okay, so where are you paving this year?
Well, that's our borough manager will tell us. It's set. I don't know, remember exactly where it is, but he's very, very good at picking the roads that are in need of repair and setting them up and getting them done.
Well, guess what? 8th Avenue just got on the list. Not this year, but in the they're going to be next or the year after.
Well, I think before that happens, we will be dealing with the gas company and having them restore it to the condition it was in before they came in.
Mm, okay. Oh, good idea. Good for you. All right. So you're going after them, as they say.
I will just say our borough manager is very aggressive about making sure the things get put back the way they were.
Yeah, they added additional bumps, not just where they dug, but I guess I imagine they put those big track hoes on the road for a long time, and then the pavement sinks under.
Well, we're just glad the metal plates are gone. As you remember, a bakery truck fell into one of those one day.
Yeah, so that didn't work out. All right. Well, welcome on board, everybody. Please, in case it's not uncomfortably obvious to you as you squirm in a line of traffic waiting to get under the CSVT bridge, we are enjoying open phones and can talk about any topic anytime. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number.
If you're stuck in traffic and bored, give us a call.
Well, I know there are people because they're texting us, and so we appreciate that. 1-800-795-9565 is the open phones. We got a couple of topics we can talk about today. I know last week at this time we talked about a cross in Bladensburg, Maryland that the U.S. Supreme Court, as Joe will tell you, wisely allowed it to stay at its current location. There were some people that said since it's a religious symbol in the town square, even though it wasn't funded by the municipality, that was an inappropriate place for a religious symbol. But there are a couple of reasons that
they
they did not win. And it wasn't even close.
No,
so that is very interesting. So, and I think that really
only Sotomayor and Ruth Bader Ginsburg voted in the negative.
Well, and that margin of loss for the individuals who were pushing the appeal and victory for the individuals who wanted to keep the monument there really shows how divided we are about these kinds of things. Now, the vote wasn't divided because of the subtleties that are associated with. You know, you can say, I don't mind a Confederate monument on private property of General Lee at X location, but add a subtlety. Okay, how about public space? All right. So you got to add that. All right. Well, how about if the municipality actually paid for it? You know, that adds another subtle change. All right. How about it's on a public space, the municipality paid for it, and it comes time for a renovation and new, and like it may have been there for 50 years or more, but now new taxpayer dollars need to go for that.
There are many municipal cemeteries across the country, and I'm sure there are crosses in all of them.
Well, yeah.
So we're going to dig up people's graves and move them?
So that would be one of the subtleties. Cemeteries have not been the argument centers for this whole discussion, I think you'll
find. I would hope even the people who are on the other side of the argument respect the dead and their right to have some monument that reflects their faith. But it's still, if the cemetery is owned by the municipality, there is still the issue of a cross being on public property. But here, this cross was erected years ago to honor the veterans, the people of that community who died in the First World War.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it...
World War One. Holy smokes.
And let's face it, a cross has been a symbol not necessarily, and I think this is where the Supreme Court hung its hat, yes, it's a religious symbol, but it's also a symbol that represents the fallen, all fallen. You know, and it's just a matter of respect for the dead.
Did it really come into widespread use in World War One? I mean, that seemed to be what they wrote about, the fact that this becomes an accepted symbol regardless of its, religiosity.
Well, I mean, you can make the argument that all crosses are religiously based, and, you know, for Christians, you're probably right. But, I mean, it has come to represent, as I said before, the fallen, people who have passed away, anybody who's passed away. And I think the historical context here, in effect, I think what the Supreme Court said is this one's grandfathered. Yes, it's on public property, but who's harmed by it? I mean, let's face it, these people who file these lawsuits, how are they harmed by this?
Why
do they even have standing?
I don't think harm is precisely the right word, but what you do have is that people who don't know as much as you or I do about this particular case visit Bladensburg, Maryland for the first time, and the first thing they see at this key intersection, this busy intersection, is a cross. And so I think...
And so their reaction is, let's file a lawsuit?
Well, no, I think the reaction is, well, this municipality is supporting a particular religion, and that's not permitted. And this is on public land, so that sort of gives them, what do you want to call it, like a hook so that they can actually file the lawsuit. So if somebody wants to weigh in on this, we'd love to hear from them.
So what do we do? Put up a sign saying, while this may be a cross, while the cross may be a religious symbol for some, we submit that this cross is non-denominational, and it doesn't matter, you know, what faith you are. If you have no faith, this is just here honoring the dead.
Well, in that case, the U.S. Supreme Court agrees with you.
Right.
Almost verbatim. So I think, and I think people can be educated to that, but that may not be what the appearance involves. You know, they may say, okay, this is a cross. It has a cap on it now because of deterioration at the top. And so at some point, well, I guess the American Legion or whomever is going to have to do some renovations.
Here we go again. I mean, John Bogie wrote another great story in Penn Live last week.
And this relates to religious versus government, right?
Pre-game prayer by a Pennsylvania high school baseball team violates the Constitution by endorsing religion, a group charges. And this, again, John Bogie's story in Penn Live. The Montoursville Area School District, Montoursville, has been accused of violating the constitutional principle of separation between church and state. The Freedom From Religion Foundation contends the violation occurred May 31st when members and coaches of the high school baseball team removed their caps, kneeled in a circle, and prayed. Horrors. Indeed, in its notice to the school superintendent, Christina Basin, is a picture of what it says is the team members praying prior to the PIAA District 4 AAA championship game at Bowman Field. The Warriors, by the way, won the game. Included in its notice.
That's Montoursville's name?
Yes.
The Warriors?
The Warriors. Included in its notice to the school superintendent, as we said, is the picture. The notice points out that one of the adults participating was former Major League pitcher Mike Mussina, who next month will be inducted into the Hall of Fame. Imagine the horrors of this. This man led these children in prayer. Oh, it's awful. Let's file a lawsuit immediately.
If you are Muslim or Jewish or agnostic, you think it's appropriate for your coach to have you kneel prior to a game and pray
what
to Jesus?
What if he said, well, how do you know that's who they were praying to? It doesn't say that they are praying to Jesus. It said they were praying. He could have said...
I'm sorry.
Each in his own way, each in his own words, express your thanks.
That's what they said? I don't think so. That's your little saying.
No, that belonged to Don McNeil of the Breakfast Club.
Okay, thank you. But, yeah, that is a... I just don't think schools should inject religion into education. This is what we've talked about. And if you have no religion, what does that say about you? Does that say, okay, well, hey, you're a lesser person. If you haven't picked up a religion by now, you really don't belong in this school because you can't offer a prayer with us. Now, prayers don't belong in school. If the students wish to have a moment of silence and then the team decides they want to do that or the coaches...
They weren't in school, Mark. They were in a baseball. Field.
Yeah, but isn't it like the
they
high
were
school?
Bowman Field, which
right.
is not which is a
oh,
public
oh, oh,
space.
Oh, okay. Oh, I thought it was a school the high school varsity team. So this
it was.
Is just a,
it was the high school varsity team, but they were praying in a baseball game at Bowman Field, which is non-denominational. I guess it's city-owned, I would suspect.
Right. It's owned by the municipality.
So, in other words, you can't pray in a public space?
No, I don't think it, I think the issue is that the
and the school district in no way endorsed it. But so if the kids and the coaches want to pray, who is harmed by that?
Well, I'm not sure that you seek harm. What the issue is do you want your high school promulgating religion? What if they pick the wrong one? What if the lead coach is Jewish? Do you want him saying, okay, everybody, there is no Jesus, so we're going to have this kind of prayer today?
That's not the kind of prayer that the Jewish people say. They don't start off with, there is no Jesus.
So, but would you want...
They pray to God.
Okay, or how about a Muslim or a Buddhist prayer? Is that what you want your kids subjected to?
I don't care. I don't see anything wrong with praying.
You just want prayer. Well,
I don't see anything wrong with teaching kids that there is a higher authority in this, you know, beyond
right.
what we're capable of understanding or seeing.
Right.
They may grow up to choose to be agnostics. They may grow up to choose to be, you know, what? Atheists.
Well, fortunately,
but
common
that's their
sense.
Right once they get there. But, you know, being subjected to the fact that there is something else, perhaps, in this world and beyond this world, mm-hmm. I don't see that as being particularly harmful.
Well, it has nothing to do with
unless
education.
We stop teaching kids about Santa Claus and the Easter Bunny and all the other things that some people don't believe in.
All right. Well, you can't see the connection between publicly funded education and religion, but it should be plainly obvious to other
people. I don't want to walk
into a public
school.
Because the high school has a baseball team. It's their team. What they're coaches do. The students are told they are, in fact, coaches. They aren't just friends. They aren't just strangers who came out of the field. They're there to coach the team. So what they say is the way things really are for these people. They're looking up to these students. We'll take some opinions about this.
Well, let me just tell you this.
Religion in the town square is being argued again, whether it is in Montoursville. Don't we have a case from Adams County that relates to religion?
Okay,
so we got that. We got Bladensburg, Maryland. Does prayer belong?
Let me point this out to you. The foundation, the Freedom From Religion Foundation, based in Madison, Wisconsin, is asking Basin, the superintendent, to investigate the complaint and take immediate action to stop players within the district's athletic program from praying. Madeline Ziegler, a foundation staff attorney, asked Basin to provide in writing the steps the district takes to remedy the alleged constitutional violation.
All right, well, let's
So
take
they
a...
dared to pray, and we need them to stop.
Oh, that's right.
Let's forbid them from praying immediately.
Let's take a quick break as Joe desperately tries to get people to behave exactly as he does once again, instead of having a mind of their own and keeping religion and education and public education separate. He wants everybody to behave like him. Do you think Joe is right? It is time for all students to be subjected to prayers, whether they have a faith or not, or do you want religion to stay out of schools? It is against the law for schools to promote religion in schools. So what Montoursville did is illegal. We're not establishing any law here. This isn't something for the U.S. Supreme Court to decide, not like Bladensburg, Virginia, where they decided whether a very much grandfathered in monument should be allowed to stay. This is a clear violation of Pennsylvania law. 1-800-795-9565.
The Constitution, in your opinion?
Oh, the separation. Well, I know, but laws prevent religion from being imposed in our schools. I'm assuming that's a state law. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Lots of folks say we should force kids to behave like Joe. Others say religion and education should be separate. What's your opinion? Call us now.
There's a reason Sunbury Motors Ford has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1950.
Isn't it time you found out why?
Now through the end of June, SMC has 125 new trucks with savings up to
$16,000.
The Ford F-150 has been the number one selling vehicle for 42 consecutive years.
And one is sold every 29 seconds.
SMC has 2019 F-150s from $25,904. Plus there's 0% financing for up to 72 months on 2019 F-150s. There's 16 of the all-new 2019 Ford Ranger 4x4s in both extended and crew cabs, starting as low as $34,870. And Sunbury Motors needs your old truck, so they'll give you the most money for your truck trade,
period.
There's no reason to go anywhere else. Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Driving you
Welcome back to WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark. Three callers waiting. One text. Joe, read from the bottom.
Right. I know where to read from. Thank you, Mark. On the the travesty. People in Maryland may see a cross. If that vision burns the viewer's eyes, they may have more serious issues. Just saying. Do these busybodies, no religion people, have nothing better to do?
I think the Freedom From Religion Foundation doesn't seem to have anything better to do. That's what they do. Thank you so much for the email, or the text. Very much appreciate that. Dan, first up on this religiosity discussion, you're on the mark.
Hey, good morning.
2 minutes. We're running out of time, but 2 minutes.
In the scripture, it says, remove not the ancient landmark. And today, thank the Supreme Court, they left the ancient landmark stand, and people forget where we came from. Our forefathers, all but a few, were based on the Christian faith, and all of them had great respect for the Holy Bible. So we better not forget where we came from, or we're bound to lose ourselves. And that's what's happening today. We don't have no concrete faith. And what happened, the Supreme Court even ruled in 1892, we are a Christian nation, and also in 1844. But since that time, we've been turning our back on our ancient landmark and the cross. We forget where we're come from. We're going to really be totally lost. We'll become more atheists, more pantheists. We'll accept any religion that's thrown at us, and we'll be lost.
Well, I think, in fact, what we are doing is refining ourselves. Did we not come to this land for religious freedom? Is that not a factor? So now you're saying religious freedom is worthless. Unless you're a Christian, then it's worthy. But if you have any other faith, then it's a worthless thing. Go ahead.
The one thing about it, I believe in religious freedom. I wouldn't want it no other way, but...
I've got to stop you there. We're out of time.
You have the freedom to be wrong, too. That's the issue.
Gotcha.
I have the freedom to be right.
Our time is up. We got to keep moving.
All right, you guys have a great one.
Yep, call back. We'll give you more minutes in the 9 a.m. hour. Go ahead, Lance. Now your 2 minutes of fame has begun.
Okay. Well, I'd just like to say amen to what Dan just said. And the First Amendment, it covers speech, press, assembly, religion, and redress. And I see our religious expressions that we put forth as being part of the freedom of speech. So we're any place we can do freedom of speech, we should be able to do religion, right? Also, the ACLU plays a tremendous amount of, concern with the Establishment Clause in our Constitution, establish a religion, but they seem to forget about that free exercise thereof part of it, you know? I mean, really.
That's a good point. The free exercise thereof, if that happens to be in a public space, why isn't that permitted?
Correct.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's an interesting take.
Uh-huh. I know. It's something I've been, hammered on for quite a while.
Oh, I think there's supposed to be...
Wherever you've got freedom of speech, you've got freedom of religion, period.
So tax dollars should be used for religious iconography?
Well, no, but we look at the Second Amendment and we say there should be no limitations on the right to bear arms. And with respect to this, it says, and the free exercise thereof.
Right. So you're allowed to do it in your public, but you think the municipalities should pay for religious symbols, crosses, and so on?
No, I don't think they should spend
taxpayer
dollars
about.
On it.
Yeah, that's what we're
no,
really
this,
talking about.
No, this was
about.
Funded by a group of people. Of the American Legion funded it and a group of women.
No, but I'm saying this discussion about the baseball team. Yeah, not the Maryland cross. I'm not opposed to the cross. Stop saying that I am. The cross in Maryland is grandfathered in. It seems to be the universal World War I symbol, and I'm not arguing that it should be removed, but I don't think school coaches should endorse a prayer. Thank you, Lance. We do got to take another quickie call here. And Harry, you're going to be the last caller before the top of the hour. Go right ahead.
Well, I have two comments I'd like to make about the prayer. One is, I don't believe that they are forcing anybody to do it. I'm sure that if you want to say it, you say it. If not, you don't. And the simple fact of the matter is, the Constitution says that the government cannot force you to form a national religion based on that country. It does not tell you you cannot practice yours or pray, and that is makes that a violation of the Constitution. What it says is that the government cannot have a government-sponsored religion. And the other thing with it is, I find it a whole lot more offensive that libraries all over the country are having drag queens do story hours for 6- and 8-year-old kids than I do a high school coach having kids bow their heads for a moment of prayer. And if that's not more offensive to somebody, then this great republic should just turn out the lights and call the experiment over.
Where's the drag queen story hour? I'll have to go to that one.
Yeah, they're all over the country. If you check them out, there was a big story in Penn Live last week.
I learned something new every day.
It's all over.
I got you. Okay, everywhere but here. All right, sounds super. Well, thank you. Appreciate the call.
Well, that may be here next week. You never know.
Oh, well, I hope not. Oh, my gosh. We cannot have our kids seeing anything that offends Joe's sensitive eyes.
Well, the cross offends some, the sensitive eyes of some people. Seeing a group of kids praying offends sensitive eyes.
Having a municipality or a school district endorse a particular religion offends some people. It wouldn't specifically offend me. It's just not legal, that's all. I'm not saying that it's not right. Like I said, I don't think there's anything wrong with the Supreme Court's decision in Maryland where you have a cross since World War I privately maintained. Now, granted, highways have gotten much busier, and now a lot of more people get to see it.
To Harry's point, some people will be offended by someone who is not a man dressing as a man, or someone who's not a woman dressing as a woman and coming in and having a story hour for children. They're going to find that offensive. Other people are going to find a group of teenagers praying, led by a Hall of Fame baseball player coach. They're going to find that offensive.
No, no, no. It's nobody's
who
offended.
Wins? Who wins?
Joe,
yes, they are offended.
You know, you're assuming things not in evidence,
no,
to use your phrase.
No, this is very much in evidence.
They don't say they're offended by it. They say it's illegal, and they're right.
But they're offended by it because...
No, they're not offended. No, they're just pointing out, if the coach were swinging knives around and doing something dangerous...
Mark, what's the name of the group? Freedom From Religion Foundation. They are
right.
Appalled by anything that has any religion in it.
No, I don't think that's
and it's their right to believe that
they're
way.
They're not appalled by it. They just point out that individuals are breaking the law. Now, you, on the other hand, think that there's some people here that are saying, oh, my gosh, my eyes will... No, that was Stan who said their eyes will burn. It's not that. It's just that one particular municipality or a school district decides, hey, we're going to break the law. It's our prerogative. We're Christians on this board. We can do it if we want to.
That's not what's really happening.
All right. Well, we'll continue this conversation. We got news headlines coming up shortly. We still have to get Joe's opinion about reparations, too. We have to get more about that. This is WKOK Sunday.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I am Mark Lawrence, subpar host of the show. Mr. Joe McGranahan is across from me, superlative co-host, if there ever was one. He's him, On the Mark, sponsor of the Sunbury Motor Company. Check him out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is wide open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. Throughout our show, you're welcome to email us at onthemark@wkok.com, and you can text us at 7023. If you're a Text Connect member, just reply to a previous message or start up a new one in 70236. If you're not yet signed up for Text Connect, you can do so at WKOK.com. It is an opportunity for you to enjoy messages from us saying that there's breaking news nationally or locally, dead celebrities, tornadic weather on the way, any kind of weather warning, major closed roads around here. That's the kind of stuff that gets to go out via Text Connect. So we invite you to contact us in that manner. In the news today, former Pennsylvania Congressman Joe Sestak has become the 25th Democrat to enter the U.S. presidential race. The retired Navy admiral calls himself Admiral Joe on his website, joins a crowded Democratic field seeking the nomination to challenge President Donald Trump. He was launching his long-shot candidacy Sunday afternoon at a Veterans Museum in Waterloo, Iowa. Of course, Joe and I have interviewed Mr. Sestak in person and on the telephone here, so he is a known entity. Around these parts, Union County Veterans 4th of July celebration will be hosting their 25th annual celebration Saturday, June, this Saturday. Events include, of course, the Veterans Recognition Ceremony at Bucknell University, train rides, a big parade, of course. And the chair of the committee, Sergeant Major Kevin Bittenbender, says a special helicopter flyover and then offering rides.
We will have a UH-1 Huey helicopter that actually participated in the Vietnam War. It was refurbished, reconditioned, it's flown. That will be doing our flyover, a very nice, low, slow flyover at 10 o'clock.
Hmm. Sorry.
That's okay.
You turned the microphones off to say something to me. They don't responded, you would turn them back on.
All right. Since we're on the air, there's the email you were looking for. Are you happy
Thank
now?
Thank you. Thank you very much.
All right. The rides will be at BZ Motors for $80. Rides will then be joining the organization that owns the helicopter and keeps it maintained and refurbished it. Riders can support the cause by getting a ride in the open door chopper. He says you can hear more about all of this on the WKOK podcast page or Union County Veterans 4th of July.com. Let's see, what else? Jesse Smollett back in the news. Of course, this is the individual that staged an anti-gay beating, but turned out that...
Allegedly?
Reportedly. I don't think it is allegedly. He's not charged with it, so there's not even an allegation. It's just this is what...
But there was an allegation.
Right. He says it was an anti-gay beating, and the people he paid to do it have said he paid them to do it. So, yeah, it's an impasse. I guess it's an allegation. But, for the perpetrators, though, it's an admission. So, you know, I don't know. Anyway, well, whatever. The door to possible new charges is now open. Cook County prosecutors dismissed all charges, forcing the Empire actor to do some community service instead. But a judge ruled that a special prosecutor can be appointed to look into this in Illinois. All right, so now you know. Let's see, one other item. Let's see, where is it? There's the cross. What else? I want to find something that will kind of encourage people to talk. Here we go. This is from Harrisburg, PA, on the Associated Press. Legislation advancing in Pennsylvania's Republican-controlled legislature would eliminate the ballot options for voters to simply select a straight party ticket in elections. Although House Democrats are objecting to it, bills to eliminate it emerged from the committee in both chambers this week. The Senate bill is sponsored by Democratic Senator Lisa Boscola and was approved unanimously Monday in committee, but most Democrats voted against it last Wednesday in a House committee as part of a wider package of changes to the election laws. House Republican leader Brian Cutler's office says a bipartisan effort to make every race as fair as possible for all parties, that's what it is, but Democratic campaign strategists say eliminating it could hurt their parties down ballot candidates, meaning on like page 2 and page 3 of the ballot. Democratic Governor Tom Wolf's office says he's reviewing it. The National Conference of State Legislatures says 8 other states allow the ban on full straight party voting. Okay. I don't know. What do you think about that?
I think it's a good idea.
All right. 1-800-795-9565. Let's do
because
an email.
It encourages mindless, you know, voting. I'll just vote for everybody here.
Well, what if
if you don't know everybody.
But I'm a Republican and I support all Republicans. Why can't you just expedite things?
Mark them all.
Just keep clicking
Even
them
when I have voted for all of one party or another, I never check the straight box.
Have you ever voted for all the Democrats on the ballot?
No, admittedly, I've never done that.
All right. We have an
but
email.
I have voted for many Democrats.
Topic of school prayer. Go ahead, Joe.
Says, as long as there are final exams, pop-up quizzes, and other testing in schools, there will be praying going on, just not organized. Maybe if there were more prayers, we wouldn't need police officers patrolling the halls to control the drugs.
Oh, there you go.
Simon Dave on the Hill. Dave makes an excellent point.
Okay. Oh, everybody, like no one's praying that we have drug-free school?
Well, you know, we didn't have as many. I don't think we had any drugs when I was going to school. At least I'm not aware of it. And we prayed every day. We prayed the Lord's Prayer and read 10 verses of the Bible in Harrisburg Public Schools.
Yeah, fortunately, you're no longer able to force other kids to behave
you,
Joe.
My best friend all through my high school years, and he was the best man at my wedding, is Jewish. And we split up the reading. We started with the Old Testament, and we do Old Testament verses and New Testament verses. We volunteered to do it for the whole year, our senior year.
Lance, you're on the mark.
Hey, hi there. Why, really, we didn't have any drugs in our schools until about 1965, I think it was. Before that, it was totally unheard of, at least around here. But anyway, on the program you have one in the morning, the fellow you were interviewing, who was...
Pennsylvania Budget Policy Center, Mark Steyer is his name?
Yeah, it's some kind of...
It's a progressive group, if that's what you're struggling with.
Yeah. Why? Anyway, here, that's...
Okay.
Let's move along.
Don't think we are.
What he was talking about was the Educational Improvement Tax Credit that Reverend Wolf, Governor Wolf vetoes as a wolf, which is exactly what he did. And it was all a bunch of bunk. Now,
you mean what the governor said? Not what the taxes, but what the governor said.
Right.
Okay, thank you. Go ahead. Just clarifying.
In Pennsylvania, it's hard. There's hardly another state that spends more and gets less from its educational system. We spend $17,000 average per kid. and the EITC scholarship, which he's complaining about, is averages about $1,800. Now, if we give $1,800, the kid goes away. If he stays, it costs us $17,000. Now, can you possibly tell me how this is not advantageous to saving money in our educational system?
Well, that's a pretty logical argument. I've heard other folks use it. I think because it diverts, because districts don't like these populations of students going up and down. You know, they like to know that this is, and I'm speculating. I'm not informed on this as much as some folks are, but I know that they argue that the district doesn't like the fact that, you know, they're building a building and they're expecting, they know that there's, you know, in the fifth grade class, there's 30 kids. So on or about fall the next year, there's going to be on or about 30. But alas, comes the earned income tax or earned income tax credit, and private schools sift off five of the schools, but the district's still staffed up and built up to handle 30. Is that one of the arguments against this? I mean, I understand they're saying, well, these are public tax dollars, and so they shouldn't be used for any private entity. But what you say is quite true. Well, shouldn't they be happy? You're losing a student for a mere pittance of what it would have costed you to educate him or her if he'd been there. But yeah, what actually happens is they say it's not that direct. You know, you eliminate a student from a classroom, the district isn't smiling because, you know, if a kid's not there, they say, you know, their budget is still $34 million that year.
Yeah, well, how do they figure on how many kids are going to be there in the first place?
I guess educational trends. They know many how many are in the previous year. All right, well, we're good to go, Lance. Thank you. EITC, it is a controversial topic in Pennsylvania.
But we're talking about an even more controversial
right,
one this
reparation,
morning.
Reparation. No, just kidding. religion in our schools. Montoursville's in hot water because they promoted a prayer.
And they didn't promote it. Read John Bogie's story in Penn Live.
What did they do?
They didn't promote it. They just...
Well, the coaches
kneeled. They didn't run out onto the field and grab the people and say, "Hey, you got to stop this."
Well, the coaches participated.
Yes, including Mike Mussina, who's going into the Hall of Fame.
All right, the game, Joe. Whether you're aware of it or not, this is a high school team. These are high school coaches. If the high school coaches pray with the students, it's considered a school-related prayer. I know you deny that, but that is the truth.
I know that's one of their arguments. Public school coaches must refrain not only from leading prayers themselves, but also from participating in students' prayers. Gee, why?
All right, Cindy, you're on the mark.
You know, I think this is interesting. Remember, like a week or so ago, I called in and I said, you know, if we want to address the issues of the budget, one of the things we could do is change the tax law, and that I advocated for changing the tax deduction that you get for charitable giving. And I said, we shouldn't have that anymore. If you want to be charitable, be charitable. And if you don't, don't. But why should you get a piece of candy from the government because you did? Well, this led me to a little research, and I discovered an astonishing fact. 45%, almost half of the tax deductions that people take on their federal income tax related to charitable giving go to religions. Isn't that interesting? Now, here you have this budget policy, whatever, complaining. They consider those tax dollars. So if we're going to say that because they gave a tax deduction to a business, those are spent tax dollars, then why isn't giving a tax deduction to a citizen, business, or organization that donates to whomever also spending tax dollars? I think it is. And so Mark's argument that the government should not be using its money in the advocacy of religion now rears its ugly head. Mm. Why are we giving tax deductions to people, federal tax deductions, to people who give to religious groups?
Interesting point.
Yeah, I think
isn't
that's a good point.
Isn't that advocating for religion? I mean, as a person who doesn't participate in a religion, I don't enjoy that deduction. I could give to churches if I wanted to. And of all the groups of people, I find this ironic, of all the groups of people who donate or don't donate, don't you have, as you once told me, Joe, a tithe, like the church expects you to give them 10% of your income is what you told me. So isn't that interesting that you're expected to do this? It's an obligation under your faith, give or take change, but you get a piece of candy from the federal government for doing it. Why?
because Christians dominated the government at that time, and they came up with the tax deduction.
The way some churches look at it, Cindy, is that tithing is traditionally 10% and biblically based, but most churches say, well, we only ask for half of that.
Well, and whatever amount it is, I don't really care if it's 5 or 10 or 2.
But you bring up an excellent point, though.
We're going to argue that the government should not be, and I do believe the government should not be embracing religion. We should, that there should be a bright line between the two, born of the experience of the people in England when Henry and Mary and Elizabeth all ran amok. These are ancient monarchs, ran amok with religion. You know, Mary slaughtered people, for gosh sakes. So,
well, she wasn't alone.
Came over here seeking freedom and to not fear. The Puritans came here to not fear religious retribution. That was only a small part of the people that emigrated to the United States. You know, fifth grade history, we learn the people that went south came here for economic reasons, right?
Yeah.
But there were people who came here for religious freedom. But and I find that fine, and I'm happy to give it to them as long as their religious freedom leaves me alone. But why are we giving them a tax deduction?
Well, let's be fair about it. Mary killed the Protestants, but Henry VIII killed the Catholics.
That's fine, Joe. I couldn't remember. Yeah, right. And Elizabeth persecuted the religious. So, you know, let's just answer this question for me. I mean, I can't believe this group that's all Twitter-pated about a cross in a public place or a stone monument with the Ten Commandments on it or whatever. Why they haven't turned their, you know, attention to the issue that 45%, this is billions and billions of dollars in tax breaks.
Mm-hmm.
Not to mention that these organizations are deemed nonprofit and therefore pay no taxes on the money they get. But I'm giving you, Joe, or you, Mark, a tax break for giving money to your church. You know, why? Why am I doing that?
Well, I disagree with you, but I think the argument puts the people on Mark's side in a tough spot because you're right. Doesn't that constitute even more of an establishment of religion than a group of kids kneeling in prayer on a baseball field?
Well, if it were up to me, there'd be no earned income tax credit at all, unless you want to.
Well, she's talking about charitable contributions.
That are
tax
deductible, right? Okay.
On your federal income tax. Now, some of those EIT dollars do end up going to kids who attend private schools. But some of those dollars go to WVIA, the television station, and some of those dollars go to museums around here.
What do you
right?
do? Designate the tax credit where you want it to go?
They set up organizations, and it's given. You
okay.
give the money to the organization, and the organization
gotcha.
Funds through grants these other organizations.
Noted.
Right?
Okay, thank you.
So, but no, I don't know that you can specifically give, but perhaps you can designate that your EITC dollars would
go there. I think businesses do that.
And let me just say this. How does a school know, project, how many students? I heard that question asked. I can answer it. The Pennsylvania Department of Education looks at the statistics on the birth rate and whether or not people are moving into or moving, migrating out of, leaving certain areas. And then they do a cipher in Gazinta, and they come up with a, will you see an increase in the population in your schools or a decrease in the population in your schools? They make a projection. It's over 15 years. It's really pretty remarkable. And then they provide it to the schools. I've seen the ones for our state. And you know what they project by and large? Want to guess?
Growth, growth, growth.
Nope. Decline.
No,
decline,
no kidding.
Decline.
Declining enrollment. All right.
Yes.
All right. Thank
because
you.
Because people are only having two kids. You know, my parents had six. Now I had two. So, of course, that's going to bring less.
I had one. My parents had five. So, okay. Thank you
right?
so much,
well,
Cindy.
Then you've made my point, Mark. Anyway, thank you.
We're nice. On it. Really fabulous information. Thank you so much. We're going to take a quickie break, but first I'm going to tell you about our wonderful sponsor, the Sunbury Motor Company. They are a family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street, Sunbury, and Routes 11 and 15, Homeless Wharf. They would like you to know about their quick lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury, where they specialize in all types of service, on all types of vehicles, big trucks, tiny cars, you name it. Motorcycles, they can fix it. They'll pump you up with nitrogen. They can wash the vehicle. They can do the alignment. They got a body shop there. There's a slight waiting list because of the hail, but they'll get you in ASAP. Monday through Friday, 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Saturday, 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. That's how the Quick Lane operates. Or you can go to sunburymotors.com, build a Ford, Hyundai, Kia, or Lincoln to your precise specifications. You can click on a coupon for fuel-saving packages that are available at the quick lane. You can look at all of the pre-owned vehicles they got for sale, and they also have, in case your vehicle busts, they got a master towing service too with decades of damage-free experience. They would just love to help you out at the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915. Call us now. We got open phones right now. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. 1-800-795-9565. We're stewing up religion with high school baseball. Joe says the Constitution's wrong. We should be able to do that. And, of course, most folks, common sense, including the Freedom from Religion Foundation, say you got to keep religion from pouring it into the minds of our kids.
And now one of our callers has sent us a rather interesting article about drag queen story hours.
All right. Well, check it out. Thank you so much. 1-800-795-9565. You can email us at onthemarketwkok.com or text us at 70236.
There's a reason Sunbury Motors Ford has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1915.
Isn't it time you found out why?
Now through the end of June, SMC has 125 new trucks with savings up to
$16,000.
The Ford F-150 has been the number one selling vehicle for 42 consecutive years.
And one is sold every 29 seconds.
SMC has 2019 F-150s from $25,904. Plus there's 0% financing for up to 72 months on 2019 F-150s. There's 16 of the all-new 2019 Ford Ranger 4x4s in both extended and crew cabs, starting as low as $34,870. And Sunbury Motors needs your old truck, so they'll give you the most money for your truck trade,
period.
There's no reason, to go anywhere else. Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Driving you over 100 years, Sunbury Motors.
Just horrible. Picture those poor kids kneeling in prayer up in Montoursville.
Joe appreciates a good school that does something fun that's illegal. one of the smartest women in the world sent us a letter at Montoursville. So the letter is here. One particular paragraph explains where Joe has so much difficulty staying in compliance with federal law. Go ahead, Joe.
It says, the conduct of the coaches for the Montoursville High School baseball team is unconstitutional because it endorses and promotes religion. The coaches represent the school and team when they act in the official role as a coach. As such, they cannot lead the team in prayer nor participate in the prayer if it is student-led. When a public school employee acting in their official capacity organizes, advocates, or participates in a team prayer, that employee effectively endorses religion on the district's behalf. We ask that the Montoursville Area School District commence an immediate investigation into the prayer circle at issue here and take immediate action to stop any and all prayers occurring within any district athletic programs. Please inform us in writing of the steps you are taking to remedy this constitutional violation. And they included a picture, and the picture does show the coaches and the players kneeling in prayer. Oh, it's just awful.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. We're just about done with this topic. Give us a call now. If you'd like to see a copy of this letter that one of our good listeners sent us, we'll forward that to you. Just email us at onthemarketwkok.com. Say, Mark, you're strikingly handsome. I'd like a copy of the letter. You don't have to say that. Just say, I'm strikingly handsome.
Just say,
and I'll send
I pray
you, the
you send me the letter.
There you go.
And since we're federally licensed, that would be an endorsement of religion,
right? So, and that letter came with this preamble. Go ahead, Joe.
It says, once again, an area school district was notified that they are breaking the law, violating the First Amendment rights of their students by allowing coaches to pray with their athletes. This time, the Freedom from Religion Foundation notified Montoursville High School that they received a complaint from a player relative that baseball coaches, including former Yankee pitcher Mike Mussina, participated in a prayer circle before a game. Why do Christians feel the need to force their religion on everyone? It would be a shame if Montoursville's district title is stripped because of this violation by the team's coaches. Signed, Melissa.
I
don't think there's any talk of stripping them of their title.
I don't know that the PIAA gets involved in that, but it certainly is worth considering. 1-800-795-9565. If they had violated some other law, What are you doing, Joe?
I'm trying to get to the latest email to see if it's related to what we're talking about.
It is completely unrelated.
Unrelated, yes.
Yes,
okay.
Thank you. All right, well, got a caller on the line. Dan, you're on the mark. Thanks for calling back. You get a couple of minutes more, please.
Hey, thank you, Mark. You're very generous. You know, the more we thought we kicked religion out of the school, the more we brought religion into the school. And I think you know where I'm going with this. We brought the religion of atheism through Darwinism is what we did. We kicked, basically, we put one out and brought another one in through evolution. So now evolution is the big religion taught throughout all the school districts except the Christian schools and throughout college. That's the biggest religion. Darwinism is brought in. So we really didn't get rid of religion. We put the true religion out and brought in a false religion. How smart are we? You know, you can't, it's impossible for man to live without a religion. We won't do it if we claim we're not godly, we're ungodly. And atheism is a religion. The believers are very outspoken about their religion. So, and it was brought up about tax deduction. Well, it's been many years that I was able to use a contribution as a tax deduction, but back in the time when I had a lot of debt, paying on a house, et cetera, I did use that provision by the government, which I supported Christian organizations, and I didn't see a big problem with it. The basic concept is if you support a religion, a Christian, et cetera, you're supporting morality. And I think it had a good purpose, although today you can support a lot of things that aren't Christian necessarily, but I don't have a problem with that provision by our government.
All right. Noted. Thank you so much. Appreciate the call, Dan. On to Drew. Good morning, sir. You're on the mark.
Good morning, gentlemen. Hey, I think there's a couple of interesting distinctions that need to be made here. One, was this prayer voluntary or was it mandatory? I think that's the big thing.
Okay.
Because if it was mandatory, then they are violating the First Amendment rights of those kids who are not necessarily religious or of the religious persuasion of the coaches. If it is not mandatory, and it comes down that they are told that they are not able to pray before the game, then it's also a First Amendment violation, because the First Amendment also states that we have the freedom, the government is not allowed to prohibit the free exercise thereof. So if those students are taking it upon themselves to pray and put a prayer circle together before the game, those who are religious and would like to pray before the game, and the coaches are freely participating in that, and it's a completely voluntary thing.
The dilemma is that it's a school function. The whole thing is a school function. They're at Bowman Field because there's a school activity taking place there, and it happens to be a playoff baseball game. And the team is there because they're participating in the varsity high school baseball team. The coaches are there because it's a school function. They're paid by the district to be there. So that's why it's against the law. It doesn't matter whether it's voluntary. The school's not allowed to pray. to pray at any time.
The school didn't pray.
Any, they're not allowed to allow prayer.
I would take issue with that. If you're telling me that a student is not allowed to pray in school on their own, then that's a problem. That's the government telling a person that they cannot practice their religion.
Well, this isn't an individual prayer. This is a group huddled at first base with coaches and players all kneeling towards the worshiping the first base together.
So let me put it this way. Let's remove the coaches from this. If the students the religious students organized a prayer circle before the game.
A voluntary one, right? Go ahead.
A voluntary one, right? Because there's a lot of religious people before sporting events like to pray.
Right. I think that might
would
be
that,
permissible.
I think if
the students did it voluntarily and the coaches weren't involved, that might be permissible because they could say the district's not in any way endorsing or impacting it.
But the fact that a coach joins in, what does that change? How does that change anything?
Well,
if the
I
students
think the coaches
organized
are
it,
leading it is the accusation.
So in other words, they
here.
Can't exercise their right to pray, the well, free exercise thereof.
They're
as
an extension of the district at that time, and even though they may not even work at the district, their only job may be to be a coach.
How are they more of an extension of the district than the students themselves? The students are there; they're benefiting from the taxpayer dollars.
I see what you're arguing. Yeah, that's true. Yeah, maybe they shouldn't be allowed at all whatsoever because the students are further an extension of the district. What do you think about that, Drew?
The students are further extension. No, I don't think so. The students are citizens. The students are citizens, and they have rights. They have their First Amendment rights. And their First Amendment rights extend to the free expression and the free practice of their religion.
Gotcha. All right, noted. Thank you so much, Drew. Appreciate
Here's an interesting
call.
One. Before you take the next caller, what about the other team? Now, Montoursville's coaches and players prayed, and they won the game. I'm surprised the other team didn't file a lawsuit claiming they had an unfair advantage.
God was on their side.
Right.
All right. Well, they probably wisely did any praying they had to do in private rather than in plain sight.
Well, it didn't work.
For the Freedom from Religion group. All right. I don't think God picks sides in sports, does he?
If not, the Cubbies
would win all the time. I'm forever praying.
The other side of that is depending on what the prayer is, and we didn't get into this, but suppose the prayer was simply, Dear Lord, let us do our very best today, and let us not be injured or harm anyone else. Now, if that's the extent of the prayer, who can object to that?
All right. 1-800-795-9565. Stand by van. Stand by, is this sign? Nope, it is not. Stand by, anonymous emailer. We will be right back.
There's a reason Sunbury Motors Ford has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1950.
Isn't it time you found out why?
Now through the end of June, SMC has 125 new trucks with savings up to
$16,000.
The Ford F-150 has been the number one selling vehicle for 42 consecutive years.
And one is sold every 29 seconds.
SMC has 2019 F-150s from $25,904. Plus there's 0% financing for up to 72 months on 2019 F-150s. There's 16 of the all-new 2019 Ford Ranger 4x4s in both extended and crew cabs, starting as low as $34,870. And Sunbury Motors needs your old truck, so they'll give you the most money for your truck trade,
period.
There's no reason to go anywhere else. Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Driving you over 100 years, Sunbury Motors.
Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the mark, why don't you read this? I think it applies a little to our discussion.
Yes, one of our friends sends us a quote from the King James Version of the Bible. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret.
All right, yeah, don't...
Matthew 6:5-6. Don't boastfully
pray in public. Yeah, it kind of relates to our discussion. If Montoursville had gone into the closet for their prayer, we might not be having this discussion. Van, you got an open mic. Go right ahead.
Well, that email you just read, that's where a lot of people want Christianity at today, in the closet or within the four walls of the church. But an interesting thing no one's brought up is Congress has prayer. You know, they have Congress opens their sessions with prayer.
the government is not establishing a religion. Many different religions are invited there to lead in prayer.
Yes, state Senate does that too, or state House does that too. Probably the state Senate also.
Now, why is that allowed?
Good question.
I think because they don't endorse a religion. I think we're barred from selecting.
But they did for years. Imposing. I mean, they had.
But pause there a second. Now, if a Christian leads in prayer in Congress, is that promoting Christianity?
I think you could probably argue that each one of the individual prayers could have a promotional impact, but the net effect is that it's sort of a diverse opportunity to hear about other religions. I don't know. I'm not in charge. It's not on my mission statement to lead prayers at the state Senate, so I don't know.
Well, if that's allowed, then obviously the government has no problem with prayer being offered in public.
In general, right. Just no particular.
In general. What's happened, though, with our, and even the Constitution, the signers of the Constitution, as Dan brought up, the religion that's taught in the schools and the universities now is atheistic evolution. But our founding fathers, when in the Declaration of Independence, they said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights. So they recognize the creator. So that creator obviously is God. That's who God is. He's the one creator. And our rights come from him. And when men start to restrict the ability of men to pray to God, then they're imposing their religion, their atheistic religion, on us as Christians. Why? Well, let's have it equal. If atheists don't want to pray, fine, they don't have to pray. Christians can pray. What's the deal?
That's a good point. Very good point.
I think people are trying to keep government and religion separate. I understand what you're saying, but I think people try to think government, whether it's government-subsidized schools or the U.S. government or local government,
but Mark,
people are trying to keep them separate.
Go back to the Congress actually has opened every session with prayer. So that contradicts your statement there.
Well, I don't think they should do that. It doesn't contradict any of my ideas. I don't think they should have a prayer at all whatsoever from any religion,
period. Do you have any money
on
you? Do you have any money on you? What's it say? It says, in God we trust.
I'm carrying a book.
It doesn't say, in Irving we trust.
Thanks to a recent...
In Darwin we trust. It says, in God we trust.
Thanks to a recent theft by my lovely bride, I'm carrying $2. Thank you very much.
Well, both of them say, in God we trust.
They say that. Okay, thank you.
I think Joe started to read something about a drag queen.
That's coming up tomorrow. We're going to have to dig into that tomorrow.
That's something that's been going on for quite a while, but now maybe I'll call in tomorrow. But the whole thing is, what we're seeing is there's a great divide in this country. Politically, we're divided in half. You know, with Christianity, the belief in God, believe there's a creator, believe there's a judgment to come. And then there's this atheistic view that we take, that some take, that is totally opposed. And they want to take away the rights of those people from being able to pray. And they want everything to be held within the four walls of the church. And even Cindy made the remark about, why do we get these tax deductions? Well, take a look at the hospitals in this country. You'll see a lot of Catholic hospitals, a lot of Methodist hospitals, a lot of Baptist hospitals. They came from Christians that gave money that are a great benefit to this society. That's why we get tax deductions for Christians that give money, because that money is then used for society to help make society better. There were universities that were started by Christians. You know, I don't know of any atheist universities that were started.
Well, can I say then that's why we have the tax deductibility then, but why do we have it now?
Well, there's many, many churches that help local communities with food banks, with clothing drives, things like that, charitable things like that, that help the community.
So the net effect is a benefit to the community. If you support the church, the net effect is sort of multiplies the dollar that's saved.
Well, and
there.
Look at St. Jude's Children's Hospital. No child, no parent family gets a bill for curing their kid of cancer.
So should we not have a benefit for giving to a charitable organization like that that benefits society?
Yeah, you could argue that it kind of multiplies the tax deductibility. You know, the donation is worth more if the expenses are low.
Well, and the thing that I get from Cindy, and, you know, she only knows her heart. I don't know her heart, but it seems like there's this hatred towards Christians. You know, I don't go to church. I don't believe in God. Therefore, you know, these people that do go to church that believe in God, I want to restrict their rights. And hey, where do rights come from? You know, they come from God. those unalienable rights that the writers of the Declaration of Independence talked about, the ones that signed it, they gave our Creator credit for those rights we have.
True enough.
Gotcha. Rights come from God. They don't come from government, because the ones that signed the Declaration of Independence made it clear that once these rights are taken away, then we can rise up against this tyrannical government that takes away these rights that are God-given rights.
Gotcha. Yeah, we hear that phrase to this day. All right, thank you so much,
man. Good points,
man.
Wonderful
viewpoints. Glad to hear them. 1-800-795-9565. I'm going to take our last break of the day, and when we come back, we got EB's letter queued up, so we're going to read it. And he's not happy about President
Trump.
But if
you want to continue our discussion on this issue, feel free to give us a call.
1-800-795-9565. We've done the sum total of the emails and text. We'll be right back.
There's a reason Sunbury Motors Ford has been satisfying more customers and selling more cars since 1950. Isn't it time you found out why? Now through the end of June, SMC has 125 new trucks with savings up to $16,000. The Ford F-150 has been the number one selling vehicle for 42 consecutive years.
And one is sold every 29 seconds.
SMC has 2019 F-150s from $25,904. Plus, there's 0% financing for up to 72 months on 2019 F-150s. There's 16 of the all-new 2019 Ford Ranger 4x4s in both extended and crew cabs, starting as low as $34,870. And Sunbury Motors needs your old truck, so they'll give you the most money for your truck trade,
period.
There's no reason to go anywhere else. Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
All right, we got a lot to do in a short amount of time, not the least of which is reiterate, if you have anything to say about church and state or religiosity or Montoursville High School endorsing religions, call us now, 1-800-795-9565, a text on the subject of religion, please, Joe.
Yes, how many school districts across this country have set aside areas in their schools for Muslim prayer rooms? Just a question.
I don't know. Probably not any. I'm not sure it would be legal.
No, I think there have been some school districts that have
Okay. I'm sure there must be some way to skirt the law. If Montoursville had chosen to do their prayer in private rather than in plain sight, we wouldn't be having this discussion. Chris, you're on the mark.
Yeah, it still could possibly be illegal, but then some student would have to report it.
Right, and that's what happened in Danville, is a student reported it.
So, but the whole thing with Dan and evolution, he doesn't seem to complain about astrophysics that much, and that has light coming to the Earth for the last 8 billion years or something, 15 billion, I forget what that is, from the Big Bang and whatnot. And he doesn't seem to get all passionate about how that's an atheistic philosophy, too, because it doesn't comply with his everything being created in 6 days.
Within of course, that the past 5,000 years,
a billion years, I suppose, too. But
thank you.
It's hard to say. I don't know what goes on in his mind.
But anyway, that's not why you called. What else you got on your mind? Dan's a good egg.
That's why I called.
Okay.
Oh, well, I'm just pointing out some things about him. But, yeah, the whole religion thing is pretty well settled. I suppose they could overturn some of it with the Supreme Court, but the standards are pretty well set now. And you've reiterated them, and that's the law we live by. But you always seem to ignore them for three-quarters of the conversation. That the school officials can't lead or participate in prayer in school because they are officials. As far as student prayer goes, the ACLU often defends students who are praying in school when they get told they can't, or even preaching in school, trying to convert fellow students in school.
Because there are places and times under appropriate circumstances prayer can occur.
As long as it doesn't interfere with class, and it's not interfering with class time and subject time, and it's between minutes between classes, or out in the playground after school, or
voluntary,
and at lunchtime and so forth. They can try to. There was an 8-year-old preacher in Alabama who the ACLU defended. There was a girl who was told she couldn't wear her religious symbols, I think, in some place. And the ACLU comes on the student's side all the time, doing the right thing.
Do you agree with that, Chris? Do you agree with their? Do you agree with the ACLU in those issues?
Oh, of course.
Then what is so wrong about having just two adults join in, to happen to be coaches? What's the difference?
Because they're officials of the school, and that puts pressure on students to participate and makes them feel left out
and the
or
fact
have
that,
to stand up.
And the fact that a baseball team...
And be, that, oh, you're different than the rest of us.
And the fact that a baseball team prays, that doesn't make the other kids feel, gee, I got to pray because the baseball team's praying? Or I got to pray because so-and-so is praying over here?
Well, the students are allowed to.
Yeah, but doesn't that put pressure on other students who don't want to pray?
Not if it's their a select group that's doing it on their own, no.
But if they're doing it in view of everybody else, doesn't that have exactly the same effect on others as an adult joining in with a group of kids?
Well, I think it has that effect because of the sort of team spirit, and you have to show unity as a team. And I think it has an effect for that reason.
Okay.
But students are allowed to pray. That's part of freedom of religion. As long as it does not interfering with how the school's being run or teaching or the function of a school.
But I look at it this way: the kids themselves are representatives of the school. They're the team. They're the baseball team, the varsity baseball team, and they represent the school.
That's a thing that hasn't been decided or ruled on in court. I can see how you could make that argument. So I'm glad to hear you're against it now.
No, I'm not against it. I just don't see any harm in it.
Oh, you aren't. Oh, I thought you were making an argument it should be eliminated.
Nope, not at all. I see absolutely nothing wrong with it. And I don't see anything wrong with the coaches joining in.
Or officials doing it.
I don't see. I think they're officials.
Do you really not see anything wrong with official student, or are you just being stubborn?
No, I don't see anything wrong with it.
All right, thank you so much, Chris. We got to hit another call.
I really don't, but I do see where I would draw the line.
You want to go back to reading 10 verses in the Lord's Prayer in school?
Didn't hurt anybody. Didn't hurt me.
Yes, it did.
Yeah, you just don't know it, Joe.
Yeah, turned out bad.
People got beat up in the playground because of it, Joe.
I don't believe so, Chris. I was there.
Yes, they did.
All right, thank you, Chris. Really appreciate the call. Van, we're going to give you the last word. Thanks for calling in. Go right ahead.
I just want to make a comment. You know, Chris likes to bring up about evolution, and he talks like Christianity is foolishness, but creation, you know, it makes sense to anyone who thinks logically, because if you believe in evolution, you have to believe in the scientific impossibility that everything came from literally nothing. And the intelligence we have comes from God. God's the creator of all things. So I just wanted to say that.
Do you believe in, what do they call it, creative influence?
No.
Creation, what's it called?
Intelligent design.
Thank you.
Well, intelligent design, it's definitely there. I mean, you'd have to be a fool to think the DNA, the complexity of DNA, that just all of a sudden just happen on its own.
Happen by itself.
You know, there's so many things that are mathematically impossible, and that's one of them. For DNA to just evolve is a total impossibility. I debate anyone over creation evolution. You know, bring whoever you want. I don't care whatever degree they have. Evolution is the most foolish thing that was ever taught. You know, and as far as reading the Bible in school, when they did that, there wasn't shootings in the schools like there is today.
Okay.
All right, noted. Thank you so much.